Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstick. Yeah, Thunderstick.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town. If you would like more information on how you can become a member of their team, go to their website, goggincole.com. A little bit later this hour at 5:35, Justin Beasley, a sports reporter with News 4, WSMV-TV here in Nashville. But right now, Joe Rexroth, award-winning columnist with the Tennessean. Joe, it was great seeing you all, for all 4 days last week. Didn't get a chance to interact because you were busy, we were busy, but it was still fun to be a part of the SEC Media Days with you.
Yeah, it was good seeing you guys, and seemed like you guys had a lot of great guests. I mean, that's a great. Always said that is for radio. That is a great event because you guys are right there, and you've got access to everybody. You get great, conversations for ink-stained wretches. It's a terrible event, but you get down there and mix it up, and get a few nuggets here and there.
In some cases we see former athletes that played in the SEC. If I could make any suggestions, I would love to see, just like we get at the men's basketball tournament or baseball, whatever the case may be, even during the SEC championships in football, but I would love to see maybe two or three former standouts from each team represented the day that their schools are there for SEC Media Days, just to add a little bit extra variety. You get to see a little bit of the foundation of where we are with the SEC by, through their eyes. I mean, in some cases we're, unofficially getting that anyway, just so happens with, players happen to be in the building. I mean, like Steve Spurrier, for example. But it had nothing to do with the SEC Media Days, per se. If I could make a suggestion, that would be the only thing I'd recommend. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, you probably, you're going to have to incentivize that in some cases. It's not just, snap your fingers and, hey, we need three from Georgia, three from Auburn. But
right.
I think that would be, I think definitely that would be great from a media perspective, and it would make sense. To sort of tie everything together. I mean, and the thing is, with some schools, some schools carry their own weight, and there's a lot going on, a lot to talk about, and then some not as much, and then some know that they have to, they have to do more. So that's why I always like how Derek Mason shows up the day before and buzzes up and down Radio Row and, make sure that he takes advantage of the platform, because it really is, it's something. Some of those coaches want to run away and it's just, avoid the enemy. But, I think he has a good viewpoint on what it should be.
It sounds like you got a Georgia Bulldog fan in the background, too.
Gus didn't like what I was saying there. So.
I guess.
I'm going to a different room.
Here's the thing, too. You bring up Derek Mason's name, and I love the fact that he likes getting that message out. He's comfortable doing it, and you could certainly feel that love as far as we had a chance to sit down with all three players that were representing Vanderbilt on Thursday. And you could just sense it through their eyes and their words, how much they love Derek Mason as a man, how much they respect him. And when you've got that going for you and you got that kind of relationship, they're going to work harder and play harder for their coach. In so many ways, they kind of remind me of the way players used to look at Bobby Bowden, for example.
No, that's a great point. And, people sometimes think players coach and it's like, a player or a coach who's their buddy. I mean, maybe people think of like Dabo Swinney, who comes off that way sometimes, but for anybody who's ever seen Derek Mason on the practice field, I mean, he absolutely gets after it out there and gets after his guys. I mean, he is a very emotional, vocal, and tough at times coach. Yet he has that to me is always, that's the balance. If you can find it as a coach, of actually pushing your players, getting the most out of them, but still being able to have a real relationship with them and talk and, you know, have them feel like you care about them beyond just what they can do for you on the football field. And I think he does that really well. I mean, you know, obviously there are some things at Vanderbilt that, you know, there are some disadvantages and some advantages other schools in the SEC have that he's not going to bridge that gap completely. But I think in a lot of ways he does tighten things up with the way he gets his guys to play. And I think in a lot of cases gets guys to overachieve.
You know, the interesting thing about that, everybody assumes it's a disadvantage as far as how tough it is to get in the school. You know, you got to be a great student as well as a student athlete. The players are turning that message because it just seems like, and we've seen this trend in recent years, but the players are utilizing that as a positive, as a sales pitch to future student athletes to Vanderbilt as well. I love that. I mean, they get it, and certainly this senior leadership that Vanderbilt has with the players that were representing them on Thursday, they're looking ahead as well. And, you know, if they can do anything to especially when they're getting drafted next year for the NFL, to be able to wave that Vanderbilt banner, that's exactly what they're doing, and I love that too.
No, I agree. Absolutely. Play that up big time. I mean, Jared Pinckney was asked several times, you know, why he came back. I kind of hung out with Jared Pinckney on their media day because I was writing about him, but you know, he said it more than once, like, Vanderbilt degree, that's a valuable thing. And, of course, a college degree in general is, but, you know, Mason said it during his time at the podium, too. You know, the networking and the power of a Vanderbilt degree is substantial. I mean, it's something to talk about, and he does. He talks about Nashville, he talks about the degree, and he talks about, you know, being able to play at the highest level of college football in the SEC. I mean, those are all great things to sell, and I think he, and like you said, those players do a great job of playing that up. I mean, that's, you know, you talk about light, and I've seen this, you know, in Big Ten country, Northwestern does that too. Said, hey, what degree in this conference would you most value? I mean, the Northwestern degree and all that comes with it, and it's the same thing here. So, yeah, it's definitely something that they use and should use, and hey, you can't use it enough.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned about Derek Mason, you know, coming the day before, not hanging out in his room by himself or whatever. As soon as he gets there, he makes full use of Radio Row, for example. Anybody wants to hear his message before having to actually do it the day he's required to do it. You know, I was thinking out loud, thinking, okay, what if it wasn't mandatory for a head coach of these 14 schools? As far as having to be there, you know, just saying, okay, this is going to be the opportunity of, you know, 4 days with a chance to get your message across to all these different stations, all the media upstairs. I don't know how many coaches could you count on one hand that would actually show up. I know Derek Mason would without even a hesitation. Derek Mason would be there. I don't know I don't know if I would use my thumb and my four fingers on my left hand to have that full number.
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't know. The thing is, I think all of those coaches, to an extent, understand, you know, the importance. Like, for example, Jeremy Pruitt, as he said out front, he doesn't like doing it. He went 21-minute filibuster to avoid questions, but he also did use that time without naming recruits, you know, give some explicit messages to some wide receiver recruits that he's going after, right? And so, I mean, even like Nick Saban, I mean, who of course he always says, I love the media, but he doesn't. But I think he also still likes going there and being sort of like the coach spokesman on NCAA issues, right? I mean, he's very good when it gets into something like that about whether you agree with them or not, giving, you know, thoughtful and answers and being bold in his opinions. It seems like all of those coaches would at least utilize it in some way. I mean, to me, it's like it would be disastrously stupid to not use that recruiting platform. But a lot of them, I bet, would cut it down to, you know, to the bare bones and try to get it to where it's, you know, they're just sort of like talking to, like, you know, the people who work for their website, you know, ideally. And very few of them actually embrace the whole thing, and Derek's one of them.
What, Jeremy Pruitt doesn't like doing those things? I never knew. Never could tell. You know, those are the kind of things.
Yeah,
look, there's
he
a reason.
Still knows you gotta recruit with it.
Well, here's the thing, though. You know, there's a reason why you're being paid what you're doing. You're not just being paid to coach a team. I mean, you're the CEO of that football program, correct? And that means, you know, you're the guy. You answer for all of that, and that's a part of your job description. And this is where I kind of get, you know, I guess from the standpoint of now being on the media side of things, it kind of ticks me off, honestly. You know, the fact that if you didn't want or don't like doing it or whatever, then be a coordinator, be an assistant coach. No one's requiring you to be a head coach of a Power Five conference team. It's those little things to me that really makes a difference. And if you're having to do anything that's a part of your job that you don't like doing, I have a problem with that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, of course, my answer when you say be a coordinator is I'd rather make $4 million than $750K. You know, I mean, but you're right. I mean, that is, and I don't think you see a lot of coaches who totally abandon that who are successful. Again, now Nick Saban is an example of a guy who has always been prickly with media, can be really disrespectful at times, but still gets the value of it and uses it to his advantage and understands that he's still a spokesperson for, you know, for the football program, for the athletic department, for the school, at times for the state. I mean, you know, you remember when the tornado hit Tuscaloosa and
right.
David really stepped forward there. I mean, there's an example of like what you need to do when you have that job. So I do agree, and I think that if we're talking specifically about Pruitt, I think he certainly was not comfortable at first. He definitely doesn't love it. He'll never love it. I think I take away from this year that he understands he's got to get better at it. So I'm encouraged by that, by even the fact that he brought his quarterback, who he wouldn't let us talk to all last year. And I thought he was better in giving answers on some things. So, you know, I think he's got to understand. I think he does that. Like, he has to reach a certain level of sort of bare minimum participation there. And you wish it would be better. And I wish all these guys would understand that, you know, it is about winning, of course, but also there's a lot of people on your team who aren't going to be in the NFL, who maybe aren't going to be stars, but who have great stories to tell. And to deny the opportunity for them to tell their story and for people to help tell their story, to me, is doing them a disservice. So that's something certainly that I hope that he kind of changes on as we move forward here.
You know, I've never had any issues being around Bobby Knight when he was head coach at Indiana. Never had any issues with Nick Saban. But obviously, they're out there. All you got to do is just Google and see the bad moments as far as these coaches and their dealings with the media. I mean, it's historic from that standpoint. I was trying to come up with another name or two that's been historically difficult at times over the years, whether it's a former basketball coach, football coach, whatever the case may be. I was having a tough time finding a third person because, to me, Bobby Knight and Nick Saban kind of set themselves apart from anybody else. Can you remember anybody in your dealings with any of these coaches?
Well, first of all, it's funny, and I just saw this when you mentioned Bobby Knight. I mean, so as a student reporter, you know, some of my first press conferences were with both of those guys, Nick Saban and Bobby Knight. You know, so
Lord
wow,
help, and you're still and you're still a reporter. Imagine that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, you know, you soon find out. Oh, most people actually aren't like that. I'm trying to think of people who are especially difficult. You know, most college basketball, and I think it's different because I think in college basketball, you know, the coaches understand that, like, they really need the media. I mean, they are, when you compare it to football, they struggle to get the same level of attention, the same ratings and all that stuff. So, you know, and it's just a more open sport. It's not this bunker, you know, we just figured out a play that no one will ever be able to touch or whatever. I mean, it's just a different, it's not like military strategy. I think there's a lot of coaches who, I mean, look, I think Kirby Smart's pretty bad, to be honest with you, at Georgia. I mean, I think he's he's tough, you know, tough to get him to say much. And he's been pretty tough, I know, in some media dealings. You know, Urban Meyer was no treat, you know, and off the top of the head here. But you're right. I mean, Saban at his peak, and again, he's softened, I think, quite a bit. But, you know, when he was really on one, you know, even like with the Dolphins, I mean, that he was about as tough as it got.
Well, I understand, too, and I was getting some information about him in his earlier days. I mean, think about it, too, by the way. We often hear, you know, a lifetime coordinator or assistant coach before finally getting a chance to be a head coach. I didn't realize this until I was preparing for my interview with Nick Saban last week. I just forgot about it. You know, we always think of Nick Saban. You know, he it seemed like he went immediately from playing football, being a part of the Bill Belichick tree, to being a successful head coach. He went 18 seasons in between playing to finally getting his first opportunity to be a head coach, and that was with Toledo in 1990. 18 years, and you know he shared with us, and he's shared it before, about the fact that he never wanted to be a football coach. Just happens the fact that his wife needed one more year of college, and the rest is history. But even with that said, 18 years as an assistant or a coordinator before he finally got his break to be a head coach.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, early days, just sort of like hanging around the Steelers and stuff like that. And then, yeah, of course, you know, really good coordinator at Michigan State in the 80s. And then, of course, he goes on to Houston. And, you know, people forget, too, it was Belichick Saban together in Cleveland. Ho-hum, average staff, you know. They did make the playoffs, I think, one year. But, you know, no one was, you know, what was anointing either of them, you know, the greatest coach ever at that point. And now you look at right now, and you can make the argument for both of them at their respective levels. Well, I think it's, I mean, to me, it's no-brainer that Saban's the best college coach ever.
You know, you brought up earlier, we were talking about players loving and wanting to play for Derek Mason. That was the biggest lesson that Bill Belichick learned with his first chance and opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL to now with his time with the Patriots. You know, Connor brought it up when we visited with him, the author of the book Belichick, and he was talking about the fact that in Cleveland, there was that distance between, you know, he and the players, and he totally revamped his approach, and that certainly, you know, he's not going to be ever the most loving guy in the whole world, per se, but he changed that relationship he had with the players, and that certainly has been quite noticeable, obviously, over this time frame with what the Patriots have been able to get accomplished, you know, this century.
He's a real teddy bear, you know. They all seem to love each other up there, but no, you're right. I mean, you know, it's like, it's sort of like he seems to have that good balance of, you know, everybody's a pro here. Do your job. He's not going to be laughing and joking, but like a guy like Mike Vrabel, you know, if you read about back then, Vrabel, he was a crack up in the locker room, and he'd say stuff at team meetings and things like that probably a lot of guys wouldn't even think to say, but. Belichick loved it, in part because, you know, he knew that Vrabel was a guy who knew the entire playbook, knew what everybody on both sides of the ball was supposed to do, and was going to do his job every time, you know. So it's one of those, you know, you have good relationships with people who are as driven as you are to do the job as well as it can be done.
18 days away from our first preseason game for the Titans as they travel to take on Philadelphia. Everybody reports on Thursday, first practice of training camp coming up on Friday morning. You know, we keep saying and asking, all right, what's the biggest storyline, what are we paying attention to? To me, offensive line and the development of Marcus Mariota finally in year five.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there aren't many position battles with this team, which I think typically that's a good thing. I mean, you kind of know who's who on defense. And I think it's also a big storyline, you know, the Harold Landrys of the world, Rashawn Evans, those young guys, can they take big steps in year two? You know, those two picks from last year. But overall, can they find enough off the edge? But yeah, I agree. I mean, offensive line, where is Jack Conklin? You know, of course, they released a PUP today. And,
right.
You know, Conklin's not on it, and Delanie Walker's not on it. And that's great for the Titans. How is Conklin? What kind of shape is he in? And then, of course, right guard. Can Nate Davis, as a rookie, push for that right now? I think it's Kevin Pounfield is the starts as a one. And Mariota, it's going to be the typical, Johnny, it's going to be the typical August. Mariota had a good/bad series out of three in the preseason game. What does it mean? We're just going to have to find out in September. But just if he's healthy, running around, it looks like he's throwing the ball well. I mean, that would be the good sign you're looking for as a Titans fan. And then, we'll see how Tannehill looks in these games too. I mean, I don't for a second buy that he's a competitor for the job right now, but it's great to have him if you're the Titans, as someone if needed, and Mariota's history tells you he will be needed. This guy can go win you a game.
And I understand, by the way, you have a public service announcement just to make sure if you're leaving a gas station and you're getting ready to enter the interstate or whatever, make sure you check to make sure the wallet is not on top of the car.
I mean, what was I thinking? I mean, the only weird thing about this situation was I was talking to Big Joe and Greg Polk, so I have to blame them. It must be their fault that I somehow why would you put your wallet on top of the car? It's pretty crazy. I drove back and forth and finally caught a little glimpse, and I stopped the car in the road, put on the flashers, and yep, there was my wallet. And then over the next half hour, oh, there's a credit card. Oh, there's my health card. Oh, there's my ID. Just kept walking into traffic. As the light would go green, everybody would vacate. I'd have a few seconds to run into traffic and grab another card. It was quite a scene.
Joe's version of Frogger. I love it.
That's right.
Hey, as always, we appreciate you. If you're not already doing so, make sure you follow Joe on Twitter, at Joe Rexroad, award-winning columnist with a Tennessean. You can go to the website there. Or, as always, we suggest to just pick up the newspaper. Joe, have a great week. I'm sure I'll be seeing you often over the next few weeks.
Sounds good, John. Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate be good. It. Just Joe Rexroad once again. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. That's 844-5600. I'd like to invite you to check out our friends with Penn Station East Coast Subs, locations to serve you, Hermitage, also the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For the entire month of July, try any wrap, hot or cold, with chips and drink at the special price of only $6.99. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Good afternoon. It's just busy out here on all the major outbound routes. The rain didn't help, that's for sure. It never mixes well with rush hour traffic. We're looking at heavy and slow traffic here on the South Loop, the West Loop, Stewart's Ferry Pike near the interstate. That's one of the latest crashes. OHB at Firestone, South Nashville on a crash waiting for you there. Clarksville Pike at Rosa Parks. That wreck is in its clearing stages. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration would like to salute everyone who is serving our great country. To the men and women who have helped to uphold and strengthen all that is guaranteed to us through the Constitution, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you defend our freedom. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area, specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, thanking all the men and women of the military for their service and wishing everyone a happy summer season.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think. if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
This is the sound of a blizzard from the amazing DQ Summer Blizzard menu with 7 flavors, like new Sour Patch Kids, which sounds like the first home run of summer. Yahoo! Your first cannonball. Yahoo! Or your first road trip to the Grand Canyon. Yahoo! That's what the DQ Summer Blizzard menu really sounds like, with exciting flavors like new Sour Patch Kids and favorites like brownie dough. DQ, happy tastes good. Yahoo! At participating locations.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kevin Harvick picks up his very first win of the season at New Hampshire this past weekend. Up next, it's the tricky triangle at Pocono. There's no fourth turn. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And be sure to like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. On tap tonight, brought to you by Klein Preston Law Group. First and foremost, the Braves off tonight. They took care of business in their four-game series that began on Thursday as far as the against the Washington Nationals. So they split that, so the Nationals could not make up any ground over the last four games. In fact, both the teams 6-4 in their last 10. So the Braves off tonight, back in action again tomorrow, beginning a series at home against the Kansas City Royals. Washington, 6.5 games back of the Braves. The Philadelphia Phillies, 7.5 games back. Washington, by the way, beginning a series tonight at home as they play host to Colorado. Also, earlier today, we talked about the SEC Football Media Days last week in Hoover, Monday through Thursday. Earlier today, here in Nashville, we're talking about the OVC Football Media Days. And Jacksonville State, what they've won, until last year, they had won 36 consecutive OVC games before finally losing to Southeast Missouri. The head coaches voted, along with the communications director slash SIDs from all the teams. Jacksonville State, 14 first-place votes atop the list, 126 total points. Southeast Missouri picked second. They received the remaining 4 first-place votes, followed by Eastern Kentucky, Austin Peay fourth, a tie in the fifth spot with Murray State and Tennessee State, and then bringing up at the bottom, UT Martin in the seventh spot, Eastern Illinois eighth, and Tennessee Tech, 9th. So that's your preseason poll as far as the OVC is concerned. You know, here's the thing. When you start looking at these polls and you start getting preseason lists, we know we're closer and closer to the start of the college football season. I mean, you know, here we are talking about 33 days away from Florida kicking off against the Hurricanes of Miami. 33 days.
It's coming up pretty quick. And also we have the Pac-12 Media Days coming up this weekend, so it's come. I mean, they're coming in pretty quick.
17 days away, as far as on August 8th. So the day is 22nd. So 17 days away before we get the first preseason game for the Titans on that Thursday night at Philadelphia. The Titans. Everybody reports on Thursday. First practice as far as training camp is coming up on Friday morning, 9:50 to noon. The two sessions that are open to the public, the first two coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 9:50 to noon on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12:15 on Sunday, where the practices are open to all the fans. Get a chance to look at the 2019 version of the Tennessee Titans. Coming up on the other side, a chance to visit with Justin Beasley, sports reporter with News 4, WSMV TV here in Nashville. And then just after 6, Alan Bell, managing editor, NFL coverage for 24/7 Sports. This segment brought to you by the Klein Preston Law Group. The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves, along with the Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Now, their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. If you need more information, go to their website, Klein, that's with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com.
Well, good afternoon. They're still working a wreck at Concord Road at Nolensville Pike. 40 westbound here at Demumbrium Broadway, just trying to get out of downtown. It's heavy trying to get to the South Loop, trying to get to the West Loop. A wreck at Paragon Mills at Jeffrey Drive. That's going to be South Nashville involving some injuries. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out tonight, 5814 at Nolensville Pike. That's Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The 2020 Nissan Rogue helps protect you from threats in every direction. Like Nat over here in your blind spot, picking the perfect emoji. Or Al here, who doesn't see you backing up, because he's telling Erica, "Hey Erica, yeah, this is your driver. Yeah, where are you? Yeah, I followed the GPS. Yeah, where are you?" This is protection in a world of distraction. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Dramatization, do not attempt. Blind spot warning cannot prevent collisions and may not detect every object or warn in all situations. Drivers should always turn and look before changing lanes. Rear cross traffic alert may not detect all vehicles. See owner's manual for safety information.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets.
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. For this afternoon, showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures will be around 86 degrees. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely before 3 a.m. and a low of around 67. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a high 82. And Wednesday, sunshine with a high 84. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Coming up just after 6, Alan Bell, Managing Editor, NFL Coverage with 24/7 Sports. Right now, going back to the hotline, Justin Beasley, sports reporter with News 4 WSMV-TV here in Nashville. Justin, first of all, welcome back to the show. And then secondly, I haven't had a chance to publicly say, once again, thank you for the opportunity. It was fun visiting with you 2 weekends ago on News 4.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. I've been in Nashville, so if there's a welcome back, it's for you and Jay. Welcome back to Tennessee, fellas.
Well, how about just welcome back to the show, young man? How about that? So
yeah, I'll take that. It's fine. It's your show. I'll go according to plan.
Well, it was quite, I have to admit, it was very, you made it a very comfortable a transition for me, so that was fun.
As I say, I fake it to make it. That's all we're doing here.
Hey, hard to believe. You know, the coaches talk about last week being not only the beginning of talking season, but it's really the beginning of the psychological standpoint of really preparing yourself mentally for an upcoming season. And Jay and I had the pleasure. We sat down and visited with the redshirt freshman quarterback for Ole Miss, Matt Corral, and it just seemed like, you know, if you're looking for a definition of getting yourself mentally ready for an upcoming season, it just seemed like all the bells and whistles finally went off that, hey, he's the guy. You know, he has known that for a while, but now he knows he's taken over that offense. And that's just one of the pleasant surprises that we learned over the 4 days of last week. And, oh, before you know it, I mean, here you got the Titans reporting on Thursday, and their first practice in training camp starts on Friday.
Yeah, any coach you talk to, it's almost like the season is snug up on them. I mean, we know that as long as the drought is from when football ends, we go ahead and count down the days. Of course, on Twitter, you see, you know, 150 days till football, 5 Saturdays till football, 100 days. Next thing you know, it's here, and you know, you already have a win or a loss after week one, and things really get real. And that's the great thing about SEC Media Days is that's the unofficial, as you guys know, kickoff to the football season, and that's when it becomes real. That's when you have to take questions, and that's when you know, you're like Derek Mason, you have to go and you have to show off Vanderbilt, and you already start to rack up either wins or losses just in front of television cameras.
Just over 2 weeks away, 17 days away for the Titans, their very first preseason game coming up on Thursday, August 8th. They'll be in Philadelphia. That's all fine. I'm still anticipating, looking forward to later in training camp, when not only the Titans play the New England Patriots on that Saturday, August 17th, but they get the 2 days of practice sessions with the Patriots as well, as far as the scrimmages are concerned, on that Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, and that's where the majority of the work's going to come, because you can do so much in those 2 days without tackling, without hurting your guys, putting them in different situations, you know, switching from offense to defense. You know, sometimes the players don't know the script, and it's just, it's very game-like, and there's no better team to do it. I mean, Mike Vrabel's using his connections. You know, he didn't talk to Bill Belichick for a couple of years after he cut him, but he's using that connection to make his football team better. You can't think of a better team to play in 2 days of practice and to have them at St. Thomas Sports Park than the Patriots. And honestly, from a fan standpoint, not a fan standpoint, but just, you know, what my job is and what your job is, Tom Brady not only being on the same field but possibly walking right beside us is pretty darn cool, in my opinion.
Well, the other part about that, and, you know, it's still, you know, you think about somebody with that type of experience under his belt, but he still has to get ready for an upcoming season. I'm looking forward to watching Tom Brady in practice. I've never had the privilege to watch him in a practice session. I'm looking forward over the 2 days to watch and see how he approaches practice on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, I got to see him play against the Titans in the playoffs 2 years ago. I got to see him really at his worst I've ever seen him in person and even on television last year against the Titans. I imagine he's got that laser focus, you know, he talks about all the time in practice. And, you know, he's got receivers that he doesn't know really what he's going to get out of outside of Julian Edelman. He's got a new tight end. He's got a drafted wide receiver. You know, Juwan Williams will be the cornerback. That'll be cool for him to come back and kind of see how he matches up with a Corey Davis. You know, first round pick. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, he matches up with the Titans receivers, because they expect a lot out of him, especially with his intelligence coming from Vanderbilt. You know, that kind of fits in with the whole Bill Belichick scheme and system of things that they have running there.
By the way, we get the list.
Second round pick.
Well, today we get the list, by the way, from the Tennessee Titans as far as those individuals that are on the PUP list physically unable to perform. There's tight end Jonnu Smith. There's defensive lineman Jarrell Casey. There's kicker Ryan Succop. A couple of names that are certainly not on this list. I don't see Jack Conklin, which is a major thumbs up for the Titans with regards to that.
Absolutely.
And I don't see tight end Delanie Walker either.
Yeah, Delaney, you know, is I think he said he was around 85% at the end of mandatory mini camp, which is certainly a good sign for him. I imagine a guy that his age with Mike Vrabel going into year two, that they're going to give him a couple of days off, probably every 3 or 4 days off, if I had to guess, which would be a good idea. Yeah, that's a good sign for Jack Conklin because it is a big year for him after the Titans didn't pick up his fifth-year option. Suckup's kind of a surprise, and we didn't see him a whole lot during practices in the offseason. Darrell Casey obviously had that injury from last year. And Jonnu Smith, yeah, we haven't seen him either, but you'd imagine he's on the mend. I've seen a couple of videos of him, I believe, on his Instagram. He's looking swole as ever, so you'd think he's in good shape when he is finally given the go-ahead.
Hey, are you thinking that when you look at this roster for 2019, to me, it's probably just those last 5 or 6 spots for somebody to earn a chance, an opportunity beyond that? I don't see any major roster fights as far as over the next 5, 6 weeks.
I mean, everybody's going to preach competition. You know, Mike Vrabel's going to sell it day one. But if you look at this roster, quarterback, linebacker, you know, interior offense, inside lineman, just about every position, we know what you have and what you're going to get and who's going to make the roster. If anything's going to be left up for debate, it's probably that 4th or 5th wide receiver position. And that, as the coaches will tell you all the time, comes down to the versatility and what they can do, you know, on special teams and elsewhere and however they can help the football team. But we know that, you know, sadly, somebody's going to go down in training camp. It's just a matter of how much time they're going to miss. You don't wish that on anybody, but football, as Mike Vrabel says, 100% of the time you're going to get hurt. So, you know, whoever makes the 53-man roster, 54, 55, and 56 are surely going to play throughout the season if they don't get picked up by another team. So, yeah, the Titans have a really good roster, probably John Robinson's best roster since he's been here at Tennessee, which is why it's such a big year for him, Marcus Mariota, and the Titans franchise to go from good to great, as we've heard so much this offseason, from 9-7 to can they get a wild card berth? Can they, you know, win the division? They really need to win the division. That would be big, but it's going to be hard to beat Andrew Luck once, especially twice, and that's probably what it's going to take if they're going to have to take down the Colts, which they got to be the favorites, the odds-on favorites to win the AFC South.
Justin Beasley joining us. You know, after hearing some of the comments and stuff coming out of SEC Media Days, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, et cetera, I'm still stunned, and it wasn't even close when the media made their selections with Vanderbilt being 7th of the teams as far as the SEC East is concerned, but it wasn't even close between 6th and 7th. I think that's a huge mistake. Your thoughts?
You know, the thing is, I think Vanderbilt has a really good team. You know, I take Derek Mason's word for it that it's one of the best teams he's had. I think he said the best team he's had at Vanderbilt. And those three guys, I mean, I could see them putting up really big numbers, Jared Pinkney, Kalijah Lipscomb, and Keyshawn Vaughn, and still maybe losing, you know, a high-scoring game. I mean, those guys can have good seasons, and they can still lose. I just think their schedule as it starts out, you know, if you start 0-3, you know, I've heard a lot of talk, you can start 0-3, the season's not over, keep your composure and keep winning. That's hard to keep a buy-in when you start the season, there's so much excitement, and you start out 0-3. I mean, we've seen Georgia come into Vanderbilt and just absolutely demolish them with the run game. That's hard psychologically to move on the next week and take that beating in week one. Georgia's a hard first team to play, especially when you played MTSU the past couple of seasons, so I don't know. I don't have a prediction of where Vanderbilt's going to finish in the SEC East, but, I mean, you look at all the good teams in it, you know, if they don't win the games that they should, you know, last place in the SEC East is kind of fitting. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're better than that either, just because of those three guys are being back. It's just going to come down to what the quarterback can do, and, you know, Derek Mason can tell us what he wants. You know, I just don't know that he knows what he has at quarterback, because we haven't seen those guys with live bullets in a Vanderbilt uniform yet.
Maybe not, but Riley Neal looked pretty good with Ball State. And you go back to, okay, how can you put, if it is 0-3, I think they'll find
Ball State compared to the SEC too, though.
I understand that. But here's the thing. You know, if you look at 0-3, everybody assumes 0-3. And I certainly see Georgia, LSU as losses. I think that Vanderbilt has every opportunity to go on the road and beat Purdue, you know, at Purdue. But say it is 0-3. it's not like then they have Alabama or Clemson or whatever next. They've got a winnable game starting, you know, after the LSU game against Northern Illinois. Then they got a very winnable game at Ole Miss, and then they got a very winnable game hosting UNLV. So if you start 0-3, for example, I think it's going to be 1-2, but then you have a chance to reverse that over your next three football games and get yourself back on the right track.
Yeah, but if you're Ole Miss and Missouri and South Carolina and Florida, you know, that are next, you think those are winnable games too. I mean, they kind of look at Vanderbilt the same way Vanderbilt looks at them. I'm just saying that there's a psychological toll starting out 0-3 that a lot of people aren't accounting for. They're just putting losses on paper. I mean, you can argue this till we're blue in the face. It's just, you know, you just worry. You just don't know how they're going to come out of those games as far as health-wise, because LSU and Georgia physically are always some of the top dogs in the SEC, you can agree on.
Well, see, I go just the opposite, too, if you want to look at, say, Tennessee, for example. I think they get off to a 3-0 start. So what happens mentally, you know, and that's just the fun part of being mentally tough in the psychology of football, what happens to a Tennessee team that's still learning how to win games, still learning how to deal with success and putting, you know, failures behind them? What happens to them when they go 3-0 and then all of a sudden they struggle and you know, win only maybe, if they're fortunate, one game in their next four? How are they going to deal with it then in the stretch run?
Yeah, 3-0 would be good. I mean, I could see that with this Tennessee team. And then they play Florida the next week, which, you know, they've lost, what, 12 of their last 13 against Florida. Can certainly beat them on any given Saturday. But football is a lot about how the schedule sets up. We see it in the NFL. We see it in college. Especially, you know, psychologically for a college kid. Tennessee starting 3-0, they could go in and beat Florida. I don't see them beating Georgia the next week, but, I mean, at least they have a manageable schedule if they're that good before they play, you know, the likes of Alabama, and that's really the toughest opponent on their schedule. I could see them certainly finishing better than fifth in the SEC East, but, again, when you start doing their schedules for everybody and the wins and losses, I mean, fifth isn't a bad spot when you look at everything objectively. But, you know, Tennessee, I think they expect to be better than that. And I wouldn't be too surprised if they could finish fourth in the SECs. But they're not finishing in front of Florida or Georgia, in my opinion. There's no way that happens.
I agree. I have Georgia 1, Florida 2. I actually have Tennessee picked third. I have them going 4-4 in conference play. And then I have a three-way tie for fourth with South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Missouri, with Kentucky bringing up the rear in the East.
Yeah, the peak for Tennessee's three. I don't think I don't think they finished seventh, but they still got to beat Vanderbilt. You know, they lost three straight to them. I mean, we're in a day and age where Vanderbilt beat Tennessee three times in a row, and that Tennessee team, the guys on that team definitely have that monkey on their back going into, you know, this year's game as well.
Justin, we appreciate you as always. It's going to be fun talking football and more with you throughout the next few months. What can people expect with you and your cohort there, Mr. Joe Dubin?
Yeah, I cannot wait until football starts. Just a ton of stuff this year at WSMV. You know, the press conferences begin Thursday with the Titans, and really until September 9th, I believe it is. I mean, it's just a ton of Titan football content, a ton of TSU, Vanderbilt, SEC. You know, the schedule sets up nicely to go to a lot of games this year, both for the Titans and the Vols. This is the fun, exciting time. We don't have to take – we're like the Ole Miss quarterback. We don't have to take the snaps. We're just ready for the football season, and we're going to enjoy it no matter what happens.
Justin, as always, we appreciate you, young man. You be good. Have a great week, and we obviously look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Johnny J., welcome back to Nashville.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, buddy. Justin Beasley, sports reporter with News 4 WSMV-TV here in Nashville. You can follow him on Twitter at J. Beasley. That's the letter J. J. Beasley, WSMV. Hey, by the way, we haven't had a chance to say congratulations to the hometown product, Caleb Plant. I don't know if you caught the fight or not, Jay, but...
I did, yeah.
Wow. I thought, honestly, undefeated, Mike Lee... with a degree from Notre Dame, I thought he would put up more of a contest. It didn't take long early on, the first 30 seconds, for me to realize Caleb Plant is the real deal. Sweet Hands, the IBF world champion. This was his first title defense. It took all of three rounds to take care of business. Looking forward to following Caleb as he marches on. But incredible fight for him on Saturday night.
And crazy stat, 11 of his 19 fights, he's got 11 KOs.
And the fact, too, that it was in it was live on Fox, and you didn't have to do the pay-per-view or anything. You could catch it live, and certainly loved his approach. And so congratulations to the hometown product. And he always likes to, although he now trains out of Las Vegas, still likes to give the love to Nashville. That's really cool. All right, coming up, we'll wrap up hour number two. We have another hour to go. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. They're still working a wreck at Concord Road at Nolensville Pike. 40 westbound here at Demumbrium Broadway, just trying to get out of downtown. It's heavy, trying to get to the South Loop, trying to get to the West Loop. A wreck at Paragon Mills at Jeffrey Drive. That's going to be South Nashville, involving some injuries. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out tonight, 5814 at Nolensville Pike. That's Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, Avalanche AC refrigerant is on sale for $19.99. And because it's military month at Napa, every purchase of Avalanche AC refrigerant and other select products will benefit the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. So support the troops and your ride and pick up Avalanche AC refrigerant for $19.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 7/31/19.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Seven NFL teams with rookies reporting on Monday. Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Buffalo, the Giants, and Tennessee. Looking at the odds for those teams going into this year's NFL season, Chicago and Green Bay both have 14-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. Minnesota then comes in at 25-1, and Jacksonville comes in at 40-1. Buffalo, the Giants, and Tennessee not looking real good for any of those teams. They all sit with 100-1 odds to win this year's Super Bowl. For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on Nashville Sports Radio.
Bowling Green, WWE Live presents the SummerSlam Heatwave Tour. Saturday night, August 3rd at EA Diddle Arena. In a double main event, you'll see Kofi Kingston as he defends the WWE Championship against Dolph Ziggler.
This should be me.
Then,
my schedule is wide open.
Roman Reigns faces Drew McIntyre, plus SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley, and more. Don't wait. Great seats are available now at the box office and Ticketmaster.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Gaga and Cole Hall Studios. 615-844-5600, Husker Richie in Nashville. Welcome to the show.
Johnny, you were talking about Vandy and Tennessee's schedules. If Tennessee opens up 3-0, I mean, what an advantage. You're already halfway to a bowl game, and you've got 9 games left. So if they go 3-0, I would say they will make a bowl game at that point. They'll find a way to scratch out 3 out of 9 wins.
Totally agree. Here's the thing, though. The 3 games they start off with, not one conference game. It's Georgia State at home, BYU at home, Chattanooga at home. So nice 3-0 start, but they still got the 6 opponents as far as the SEC East. along with the two from the West, including Alabama. So just because they get off to a 3-0 start, it's nice you start that way. I think they hit some rough roads coming up in that next four-game stretch with Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Alabama. You know, you can't lose sight of, you know, the fact that it's a long season, and don't get lost if you have a few losses in that four-game stretch.
That's right, Johnny. Go Huskers.
I appreciate it, buddy. All right, hour number two in the books. That cracked me up, by the way.
It cracked me up, too, honestly.
You know, he was the one that out of Nebraska never be back to what they – I've never bought into just because a team went through a stretch where they're not any good as far as competing where they used to be, like on the national scale. You know, if Nebraska was able to get that accomplished before – I certainly see, you know, the fact that with the right personnel, the right coach, right everybody in place, why not be able to accomplish that again? If you've done it before, you should be able to do it again. Hour number two in the books, hour number three coming up. Stay with us, everybody.